You are listening to A Window on the Past on West Limerick 102 FM.
Next Wednesday night, I'm meeting with people at in Brough, right? With the view to putting together some kind of a commemoration for the dance at Cathal Gillimore.
Right.
Now, what we have done with Stephen Kelly, he's a retired army person, right? We've compiled a listing of a lot of the men that were arrested. Now, the army is, there was about, I think, about 138 men, right?
Yes.
Now, we have compiled a listing, I'd say, about 110.
That's very good.
Good going, right? Now, the tragedy resides around the ladies who were at the dance.
Yes.
Because none of them were arrested.
You see, it's what we come back to again and again, isn't it? Women being airbrushed out of history or whitewashed out of history.
Well,
women's history just not existing.
In this case, it was because they weren't arrested.
So it was for a good reason.
For a good reason. No listing, defensive listing, has been made of the women who were at the dance in Cathal Gillimore. Now, we reckon there was anything up to 100 women at the dance. As I say, there was about 138, 140 men. Mm. Now, as I said, that I reckon we will get to, there will be very few men left because, as I say, they were arrested.
Yes.
There's a record of having them arrested, right? Some very interesting characters in it, I have to say.
Is it a bit of a who's who?
A bit of a who's who. Right?
Yes.
Now, there were two very prominent hurlers in the listing that were arrested. There was a lad called Tom Conway from Fedimore. Now, Conway was very, very lucky because Conway was actually one of the sentries. And he was caught with a rifle.
Oh.
He put a rifle in his head, anyhow. Now, Conway and a lad called John Mulcahy from Mianus were caught, as they say, under arms. And because they were under arms, right, at the time of martial law, they were liable to be executed.
Executed, yes.
Yeah.
And a couple of the other sentries got executed, didn't they? They got killed.
There was five of us killed.
Yeah, they got killed.
No. There were five of us killed. There were, the man that organised the dance was from Holy Cross, Martin Conway.
Yes.
Now, Martin Conway was killed, right?
Sure.
A man called Ned Maloney was killed, right? Now, Ned Maloney actually shot dead a black and tan, but in the, before the Hogsden, but then Hogsden before the, you know, at the start of the...
Yes.
No, I think it was the shooting of Hogsden
that set the whole thing as bad as it went.
The whole thing,
yeah.
You know, whatever hope there was that things might be peaceful...
It ended with Hogsden's death, yeah, yeah.
It ended with the death of Hogsden. Now, as I say, there was Ned Maloney, as I said, Harry Wade. Now, Harry Wade would be from Drumbanna.
Oh.
And a good bit from Cathal Gillimore. You know, Drumbanna would be the bones of 10 miles from.
But we kind of said, didn't we, that the men who were there kind of came from far and wide, but we would suspect that the women would be more locally based. Yeah.
The women would be more locally based, like, you know, to be fair, like, you know, the dress that women would be going in those times.
Wouldn't be cycling 10 and 15 miles to a dance.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Now, as I said, Harry Wade, interestingly, was working for Limerick County Council in a quarry quite close to Cathra Gilmore.
Oh.
And we reckon that that's what, you know, that, that he was in contact with fellows up that side and said, in his place of work. And that that's what brought him to...
So he'd have had buddies and he would have gone to meet them.
Yeah. Now, yeah. As I say, he was a sentry.
Mm.
He was the first man actually shot. He was... there's an account of the shooting of him that he spotted shadows moving towards him. Now, what had happened was the Crown forces knew about the dance.
Yes.
Right? Now, a sergeant in the RIC, we think it was Fred McGarry from Brough, went to a shop in Brough during the week before the dance. And he said to the people in the shop, he said, "For God's sake, Des, will you get the dance called off? We know it's on. It's going to be raided." Now, in fairness to Martin Conway, he thought that the raid was going to be a kind of a local raid.
An average, the sort of raid that yeah, he would be accustomed to.
He'd armed sentries out to prevent against that.
But of course, they meant business. They came stealthily. They came in numbers.
Huge numbers, yeah.
And they like, brought, didn't they bring dogs, and they brought people to search the women as well? Yes, they brought everything. They had everything.
And there was a suspect, and there was a suspect group as well.
Yes, so they left nothing to chance.
They left nothing to chance. Like the man in charge of the raid was a fellow called Captain John M. Regan, right? A Catholic from Dundalk.
Mm.
No, he was the county inspector of the RIC in Limerick. You know, no, he had a brother in the Redemptorist family.
There you go. That's a mixed family for you.
Yeah, that wasn't going to save anyone at Cathra Gilmore.
Not at Cathra Gilmore, not that nice.
I remember more about 40 years ago, I interviewed a man called Mickey Condon from Feathermore.
Mm.
And Mickey told me that he remembered the night of the dance. He was about 12 years of age at the time, and he was out with his brother feeding pigs. And he said about 9 o'clock, a big convoy of lorries passed up their house.
Right.
And they stopped up the road at a place called the Taylor's Cross. Now, the Taylor's Cross, as I say, would be in the townland of Fanningstown, the parish of Feathermore.
Okay.
Now, I would have been familiar with it. Now, the other day, I drove from the Taylor's Cross to Cathra Gilmore.
Mm.
Now, I always had the perception that it was a long distance, you know, that it would be about 6-8 miles.
Yes.
It isn't. It's about 4 to 5 when you go by the back way from through Glenrogra.
Right.
You know, so the British knew their maps, they knew their routes, right?
Oh, they were ready. They had everything. They had everything sorted. They had everything planned.
They had everything sorted, yeah. Yeah, as I said, the Taylor's Cross in the townland of Fanningstown in the parish of Feathermore is about 4.5 miles to Cathra Gilmore. Now, as I said, that Mickey Condon said that the lorries stopped at the Taylor's Cross. The men got out and went off on foot up the road.
So they couldn't be heard approaching, and they were...
They couldn't be heard approaching. Yeah. Yeah. So that there was no escape intended from Cathra Gilmore. As I said, when the first inkling that the people had that there was a raid on, the report went back to the house, there might be something happening, that there was shadows seen in the distance of... You know, like it was at night, but it was a wounded night.
Yes.
If it had been a dark night, it might have been better for the defenders. But either way, anyhow, they had an inkling that something was up. So anyone that was on the run, there was a number of people at the dance who were, as I say, on the run. Now, among them would have been the two O'Dwyer brothers. And I interviewed one of them, Jed O'Dwyer. I knew him very well. He died in 1996.
Mm.
He was 97 when he died. And right. up to the day that he died, it was very compass mentis, very good recollection.
So he'd be 22 at on the night of Carrigillamore then, he'd be?
He would be born in 1899, so he'd be 21, 22, kind of age, you know. And as I say, he was one of the fellows that was told to get out, because you were on the run, like, that they felt that the people that weren't on the run, they had nothing to lose.
They'd have as good a chance as,
But before he left the dance hall, right, now, Carrigillamore House, as we explained, it was, say, was owned by the Earls of Fermoy, or Lord Fermoy, a descendant, an ancestor of Princess Diana.
Oh.
You know, as I said, I think it's not too far away. they were, as I say, they weren't living in Carrigillamore. They was being minded by a caretaker. Excuse me. Being minded by a caretaker at the time. And the caretaker's name was O'Donoghue, and his son was on the organising committee. And because they had access to the house.
Of course.
Now, they had a band brought in from Brough, a family called Martins, who were noted musicians. Anyhow, as I say, when the British forces were approaching the house, they were challenged by one of the sentries, Harry Wade. Harry Wade was the first man shot. He was shot, and he wasn't killed outright, but...
But he died as a result.
He died as a result of the shooting, right? Now, there were two other sentries killed, a man called Quinlan, Daniel Quinlan, and John... Daniel Sheehan and John Quinlan.
So they didn't come to talk. Like, when the sentry said, "Who goes there?" they just opened fire. They didn't.
Now, as I say, I would believe that Harry Wade was shot before Ned Maloney shot at Black and Tan, because if you think about it, the Black and Tans were in around the house.
Yeah, so when they went,
Ned Maloney shot them. Now, Ned Maloney, as I say, had got the revolver from Jailer Dwyer.
Yes.
You might say, what was a man going to a dance with a revolver? maybe he was looking for ladies' choice.
Oh, there were different times, though. There was that undercurrent of fear and that undercurrent of being ready all of the time.
Yeah, and you see, it's very easy to criticise and say they shouldn't have held the dance and whatever. But, like, youth is youth.
Yes.
I mean, there was nothing allowed in the country at the time. There was martial law, say, Limerick, Tipperary, Cork and Kerry, martial law prevailed.
Yes. so they had very heavy curfews, very heavy restrictions.
Yes.
And they were essentially holding a dance in a house in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. Now, as I said, the purpose of the dance really was to raise funds to buy rifles.
Oh, well, yes.
But I don't know whether the British knew that or not. They knew about the dance. Now, there's always been an argument as to how they found out.
Mm.
Now, the only thing I would say is this, and Jailer Dwyer said this to me. I said to him, "How did they know?" And he said he reckoned that it was loose talk in public houses.
Well, most likely, you know, people just saying to people, "Are you going to the dance, or did you hear there's a dance on?" And then it just stayed it escalated.
A lot of people knew the dance was on, but they didn't know the venue.
Okay.
Right? But I suppose, really, when you go after it, there was a limited number of venues, potential venues.
For a dance of that size and of that nature.
So
it wouldn't have been too difficult either to find out. But I suppose it's interesting now that you're kind of involved in compiling a list of the people who were at it. And, you know, arguably, as we have said, you know, it's late to be doing it, but it is better late than never.
Well, you see, the tragic thing with Limerick is we don't ever... shout from the rooftops. I mean, there were more people arrested at Carrigillamore than were arrested at the burning of the Custom House. Now, in Dublin, we'll say.
Yes.
Now, however bad the Holy of Dance in Cahagillamore was, I think the burning of the Custom House in the middle of the day in Dublin
significantly
was
worse.
Lunacy. Yes. I mean, why could they not have gone in at night? You know.
Yes. No, in the middle of the noonday, they did it.
I think because there was an element of De Valera and Fahal grew up with the Manos and Michael Collins. I think there was a bit of a conflict there, you know. But either way, you know, the Custom House is the Custom House. There was 85 men captured in the Custom House, and I think just 5 or 6 killed. There was 6 killed at Cahagillamore, 5 in Moray, one
Black and Tan. Yeah.
Right? And there were about 100 and something captured.
Now, huge numbers.
There was one other tragic person at Cahagillamore, was Dr. Michael O'Brien.
Yes.
Now, O'Brien was compelled to give medical attention to the dying Hogsden. Right? When he was finished attending to Hogsden, it didn't matter to say.
He would have died anyway. He couldn't be safe.
He would have died anyhow.
Yeah.
But when O'Brien was finished giving attention to Hogsden, he got a desperate beating altogether.
And he didn't die then, but he died as a result of that.
He died 2 years later.
Yes.
So as I say, ostensibly there was 5 IRA casualties and 1 fatalities.
You would add
1 fatality. I would argue that there was 6 IRA fatalities.
Because his health was never the same after he died
No.
Do you think are we getting any closer to know names of the women who were there? That is, it's more difficult.
We have some. Mm-hmm. We're compiling a listing of names for as much as we can. Like one of the ladies that I would be talking to next week is Biddy Conway, Biddy Leo. Now she's married to Leo Hayes. She would be Biddy Hayes nowadays. Now Biddy believed this, right?
Yes.
Biddy is a very fresh lady, right? She is a niece of Martin Conway, the man that organised the dance.
Get out!
She is a niece of Martin Conway, the man that organised the dance.
This just shows us again and again and again that it's no time ago. No time ago.
Yes, it's no time ago, right? Biddy is a very, very fresh, very able lady,
yes.
Right? Like, her father was considerably younger than Martin Conway. Martin was the oldest in the family.
Right.
Now, Biddy's father was considerably younger, about at least 20 years younger.
Right.
And she had 2 aunts who were at the dance. And it was really from the aunts that she got the insight on her.
See, this is the only way that we find out about incidents like this in history, isn't it? Through oral history.
Through oral history.
People literally telling the story and people remembering the story.
Yeah, our mutual friend Tom Sergeant Chilea, what's he call him? Tomas Macmandala, right?
Yes.
No, he has spent his life speaking old people, recording an oral history.
Collecting
the stories. It's a fantastic work. You know, it's a fantastic work. Now, as I say, we have spoken about his work on the...
On Scariff, yeah.
Practice. Yeah, but anyhow, coming back to, as I say, to the thing with Cahagillamore, we're hoping that we will be able to... compile. Now we have well over 100,
yes,
or 110
of the men,
right? And they make some very interesting reading. As I say, one of them is Tommy Conway, who was one of the centuries, as I said. Now Tommy Conway won 3 Railway Cup medals with Munster and hurling in later years.
Amazing.
Yeah, the other man that's of interest is from. Dave Moran. He was full back on the Limerick hurling team. He won the All-Ireland Senior Hurling title in 1921. Now remember, Limerick won the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship in 2021.
Yes.
100 years previously.
They won it as well.
They won it as well. It was the first time the Limerick Catholic Cup was played for. And believe it or not, it wasn't Cork, it wasn't Kilkenny, it wasn't the players.
It was Limerick.
It was Limerick. They won it for the first time. And Dave Moran, big strapping young club with a mad head of hair, right? About 6'3", right? Big able young club, and he was put back in the team.
Yes.
Now, he was arrested at Capa Gilmore. Fortunately, he was released in time.
For the match.
The 1921 All-Ireland was deferred until 1923.
Uh-huh.
And Dave Moran was released in time to take part in the final. Now, there was tragedy attaching to him, though. In 1925, when he was still a very able man, you know.
Yes.
He got a burst appendix. And in those times, like...
There was nothing to do, yeah.
Yes, he died from it.
Yeah.
In 1923. See, 1925.
I suppose while it's no time ago, there were very different times too.
There were very different times. Like, we don't appreciate the onset of the invention of penicillin.
Yes.
We take things for granted. You know, like things, people died from things years ago.
That wouldn't even factor nowadays. That you'd be ill for a week or so, but you wouldn't die from it.
Yeah, that's things that people died from long ago. You wouldn't dream about it today because the medical care is so much better.
Yeah, it's just a kind of a normal procedure, really, the appendix nowadays. But
anyhow, we haven't really got to discuss many of the characters involved. Just briefly, one of the men who was arrested and detained after Cahagillamore was John Feely.
Yes.
People will have remembered him in later years as the president of the ICMSA. Another man that was arrested was Bob Ryan, the Fianna Fáil TD for East Limerick for many, many years. As I say, he was detained and held after the dance.
It was the who's who. Everybody who was anybody was at it.
I don't know if he got Daisy's choice, but he got the crown choice.
He got the crown choice. Yeah, everybody who was anybody was at it, and everybody who was anybody was arrested.
Interesting character was a fellow called Christopher O'Sullivan.
Yes.
Christopher O'Sullivan was from Castle Connell. So you, what was he doing?
A character. Yes.
He was apparently going out with a lady by the name of Clancy.
Oh, romance.
Yeah, romance gets men into... Then, as now, romance gets men into trouble.
Into a tight spot.
Into tight spots. You know, as I said, that there's another one who got a very bad beat was a man called Frank Nealon.
Mm.
Now, he was released early. He's from Brough. And Frank was released early because his head broke when he was in prison.
Yes.
But the fact that he got a terrible beating... was hardly mentioned at all.
Yes, and we do know, of course, that there is many tales of the savagery of the beatings at Carrigilmore, particularly after the death of the Black and Tan.
Oh yes, once the Black and Tan was killed, dare I say, all bets were off.
Mm.
Another man who got a terrible beating, not surprisingly, was Patrick O'Donoghue. The son of the caretaker, because he would have been known to have the keys.
Yes.
You know? Now, it would have to be said that some of the RIC tried to keep some kind of semblance of normality or decency.
Yes.
There was a Sergeant Hargan from Fethymore. He was a County Galway man, very decent person, apparently. And there was a Sergeant Fred McGarry from Brough. But then, on the other hand, you had... our friend James Horden, I think we've spoken with him before.
Yes.
Now, there was no Black and Tan, either in Limerick or anywhere in Ireland, worse than James Horden. And James Horden was from Mayo.
Yes, he was one of our own.
He was one of our own. Yeah, a lovely specimen of an Irishman.
You have been listening to A Window on the Past on West Limerick 102 FM.